And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
15. On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll break down some stellar pitching from Sunday's slate and prepare for the week ahead.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It worked great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Monday, July 5th, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I'm Al Melchior. With me here to kick off yet another week is Michael Beller. And Michael, we got a lot of prominent players with some health issues. We'll cover a lot of that later on in the show as we take a look ahead at the week coming up. But we'll start here with Anthony Rendon leaving the Angels game on Sunday with hamstring tightness. Joe Maddon says that Rendon will likely sit on Monday against the Red Sox. So in a little preview of, working out our start-sit dilemmas, what do we do with Rendon?
Yeah, the fact that they're already saying he's going to sit Monday would make me a little bit more inclined to sit him down than I usually am when we're talking about a player with his caliber. But as I always say for any of these discussions, I would never start someone just to have a body in there. I would never sit Rendon, a player like Rendon, just to have a body in there. If I had like Abraham Toro to play in his place, I would. So I would go that far, but don't just sit him because it looks like maybe he won't play a bunch this week.
All right, sounds good. Well, Carlos Martinez, he left his start for the Cardinals in Colorado with a bruised thumb. A couple of IL placements over the weekend, some big ones. Zach Gallen and Kyle Schwarber both going on the injured list with hamstring strains. So very unwelcome news there. A couple of activations, though. Andrew Benintendi and Nico Horner returning to their respective teams on Sunday. Blake Snell, also activated by the Padres, goes out, tosses four scoreless innings in Philadelphia, but also walked four. So it was one of those games where if you did happen to start him, you got some stats maybe you could use, but the overall indicators didn't really look great.
No, they didn't. And those walks are just really, really an issue for him and going to keep him from maybe ever being the guy that he was back in his Ray days.
All right. And another Padres note here, CJ Abrams, one of the Padres' top prospects, in fact, one of the top prospects in all of the minor leagues. He is now out for the season with a fractured tibia and sprained MCL. So was playing at the AA level, but that's obviously going to slow his progress towards the majors. And Michael, let's take a look at a couple of closer situations. We've talked about the Yankees recently in Aroldis Chapman. That one's not really getting any better. Chapman blew a save and took the loss in the first game of the Yankees-Mets doubleheader on Sunday. Now, in his last nine appearances combined, Chapman's just recorded only four outs and given up a total of nine runs. What do we do in this situation? I mean, I think at a minimum, maybe it's strange to think, but I think maybe we do sit Chapman. But is there anything else to do here?
I mean, maybe there's something to do in the short term. This is such a hard one to explain. We have seen it from him before, and we've seen the Yankees take him out of the closer's role for a week or two, let him get things right, let him get out of it for a second. So maybe they do that, and we see someone like Chad Green saving games. So maybe if you're like really speculating on saves and thinking that could happen, I could see chasing Chad Green for a week or two. But other than that, it's a situation you have to let play out. The Yankees have to let play out, and just really typifies how ugly things have gotten for that team here in the middle of the summer.
All right, and we'll just take a look at one other situation. I'm not even sure it's really a situation, but Yimi Garcia blowing a save opportunity in pretty dramatic fashion in Atlanta, had a four-run lead that he let evaporate. Well, it's actually not a save situation, but Garcia's not been, I mean, he's not been, I wouldn't say reliable, but he's also, it's not a Chapman type situation where it's like, this is, you know, one after another. So anything that we should be thinking of doing in this situation?
I don't think so. And as I've said a few times before, like the Marlins need to be showing off their wares going into the trade deadline. And Yimi Garcia is definitely one of those guys who you could very easily see being shipped out and playing his baseball elsewhere for the remainder of the season. So I don't think that they're going to make any change here. An ugly, ugly performance against Atlanta, but he's still this team's closer.
All right. Well, let's go back to the Yankees as we talk about Sunday standouts and start with a standout that is the kind that kind of has people worried. So Gerrit Cole named to the American League All-Star team along with Chapman, but neither one has performed well, certainly not like an All-Star recently. In this game against the Mets, Cole going just 3 1/3, giving up 4 runs on 6 hits and 3 walks, did get 6 strikeouts. The strikeouts have continued to be there for Cole, but a lot of long balls. He's given up 9 of them over 31 innings in the month of, during the month of June, he gave up 9 in 31 innings, and those troubles just continuing. A lot of people speculating about the spin rate and sticky stuff and all that. It's an easy place to go because prior to the end of May, Cole averaged 2,500 RPMs or more in every single one of his starts on his fastball in terms of spin rate. Hasn't been approaching that lately, and several of his starts have actually been quite a bit lower than that. So is that an explanation for you? Is there a reason for concern or just a bump in the road?
I think there has to be reason for concern. I'm not going to go so far as to say that the spin rate drop is an explanation just because I'm not a physicist, and I'm not going to pretend that I can say that a 110 RPM drop is going to equate to this, that, or the other. But it's obviously a change, and he has not been pitching anywhere near Gerrit Cole level for a month or so. So I do think that there's cause for concern here. I would just tie it more to the fact that this has been a while now. We're not just talking about a bad start here, a bad start there. We're not even talking about a bad start here and a bad start there with a couple of vintage Gerrit Cole starts mixed in. He's had a couple of good starts, but we haven't really seen Gerrit Cole name in lights since like the end of May. And so that's where I would be concerned personally.
All right. Let's go a little bit more positive here. Some very good pitching performances from Sunday. A couple of them in the same game. James Caprillion and Nick Pivetta, Red Sox Athletics. Caprillion going 7 deep, giving up 1 run on 5 hits and a walk. 10 strikeouts for him. Nick Pivetta says, oh yeah, I'll give you 10 strikeouts in 7 innings as well. And not give up any runs. Just a couple of hits yielded by Pivetta in that one. Do you have a preference here in terms of either one? I realize that neither one's really going to be, you know, out there most likely in a lot of 12-team leagues, but just looking ahead, do you like either one? Are you skeptical of both?
No, you know, I think they're both exactly what they've shown us. I mean, they're both big strike. They can be big strikeout guys. They can get into trouble with walks. I mean, I think they both are what they are at this point, and that's a very useful pitcher in really all sorts of leagues. Yes, definitely all the way down to 12-teamers, so I really don't see any reason to change the way we felt about them, and definitely feeling good if you had them in your lineup yesterday.
All right, Joe Ross says, I'll do you one better. I'll go 6 2/3 and give you 11 strikeouts. And against the Dodgers, no less. 3 runs on 7 hits, no walks for Joe Ross. It's been a strange season for him because it looked like he was really breaking out early on, hit kind of a lull, and then he's just been fantastic for the last month plus. His last 6 starts combined a 2.31 ERA with 44 strikeouts in 39 innings, only 6 walks, so not that issue that we have with Caprillion and Pivetta. And yet, Ross, you're more likely to actually find him out there, so should you.
Yes, I think you definitely should. These last 6 starts really are impressive, and like, in the fantasy world, you know, we're always dealing in small samples, but like we have to consider what a small sample means. And like within one season, and we're just talking about confined in one season, 6 starts is not necessarily a small sample. And so if you're not chasing a guy after he puts together 6 straight starts like this, I don't know exactly what you're looking for on the waiver wire. I think you definitely want to go after Joe Ross.
All right, couple more starters here. Kenta Maeda looking much better. 6 innings, no runs on 2 hits and a walk, 10 strikeouts for him. A lot of strikeouts on Sunday. This against the Royals in KC. So since his return, Maeda with a 4.50 ERA, but that was largely because of one poor start, and we'll talk about that in a moment. 25 strikeouts in 20 innings, but also 10 walks. So four starts since coming back off the IL, three of them very good. This one against the Royals, and then also good starts in Texas and Seattle. One bad one at the White Sox. Seems like maybe there could be a pattern there in terms of matchups.
Yeah, maybe, but I feel pretty good about playing him against Detroit this week, and you know, it's good to see Kenta Maeda getting somewhere back toward where he was a season ago.
Okay, and Anthony Desclafani, 8 2/3, so just coming shy of his third complete game of the season. Two runs on six hits, a couple of walks, seven strikeouts at Arizona. Weird, weird splits for Desclafani. You would think maybe this season for him has a lot to do with no longer being a Red and now being a Giant, and you know, big upgrade in home park. But he's got a 4.24 ERA at Oracle Park, on the road, 2.14 ERA with a very low BABIP, 2.12, and a 91.9% strand rate, which is sort of outrageous, actually. So what do you make of that very strange combination of splits?
That the home pitcher is more realistic than the road pitcher, and that I would be very concerned about DeSclafani in the second half of the season. I don't really think there's any other way to cut it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I would have to agree with that. And a reliever to take note of, if you haven't already, Colin McHugh with three absolutely dominant innings at Toronto. No runs allowed, just one hit, six strikeouts, no walks. Since the beginning of May, he's just dominated everybody. 25 and a third innings, 39 strikeouts, six walks, one run allowed. Just incredible for McHugh. So is he the kind of reliever that kind of, you know, transcends, you know, niche type leagues where you would get a long reliever?
Oh yeah, definitely going after Colin McHugh. I've got him on both of my teams, and I don't see any reason why you wouldn't want to go after him. This is a guy who you can pair with another reliever and basically craft a starter out of with what he's giving you right now.
All right, and just three hitters to look at. Akil Baddoo keeps on hitting, his 14th double of the season against the White Sox, his 13th stolen base, and he's been leading off lately. So he is still out there incredibly, so look for him. Brandon Nimmo coming back over the weekend, went 2-for-5 in the first game against the Yankees, 0-for-3 in the second, but a composite 5-for-14 over the weekend for Nimmo. And Ramon Urias, really, I think, quietly doing some nice work for the Orioles, 2-for-3 on Sunday with his fifth double of the season. In that lineup, now granted, Cedric Mullins didn't start, but he had the highest OPS of any Oriole hitter in that lineup, 817 with a 280 average. Is he getting overlooked?
Yeah, I would say he's getting a little bit overlooked. He's at least worth kicking the tires on with what we've seen from him in the recent term here. I think that's definitely goes without saying even.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right. Well, let's look ahead here to Monday. Lots of interesting streamers. We've got with the Red Sox and Angels, Martin Perez and Jose Suarez. We've got Kobe Allard in the first step of his two-step. This one against the Tigers. Zach Davies at home against the Phillies. Mike Minor at home against the Reds. Kwangkyung Kim at San Francisco. Tyler McGill for the Mets against the Brewers. Who looks good for streaming?
Give me Kobe Allard in a long shot here. By far, my favorite streamer of the day. He's been pitching well. This is a great matchup with Detroit. I think he's easily the best guy to go after. I actually think there's reason to be concerned about almost all the rest of the guys. I could see getting on board with Martin Perez. He'd probably be the second one who I would choose. But even though there's a lot of options, not a ton of options that are really jumping out at me, I think Allard, far and away, the guy you want if you can have any of them.
All right, and as I said at the outset of the show, a lot of high-profile players with some injury concerns. Corbin Burns with a sore knee. He is at least lined up to start against the Mets this Wednesday. Do you go ahead and chance that?
Yes, I do.
All right. Now, I'm just going to rattle off a few here because they're all kind of similar situations. Have missed a few games, have injuries that seem to be a little bit more serious. Trey Turner with his finger injury. Jose Ramirez with an elbow issue. Yasmani Grandal dealing with a calf injury. Yoan Moncada missing the weekend with a sore hand. So Turner, Ramirez, Grandal, Moncada. Anybody you're concerned enough about to actually sit them this week?
Maybe the first two. I would have to look at those. The White Sox, but they Tony La Russa sounded pretty confident in both of them on Sunday. And with Moncada, even going back to when it happened, they said he's going to miss the weekend, but we feel pretty good about him playing on Monday. So I feel decent about the White Sox. I would have to wait down to the last minute for both Trey Turner and Jose Ramirez.
All right. And then a few more that are, I guess, not necessarily better situations, but maybe less determined. Nelson Cruz with a stiff neck. Josh Donaldson dealing with a hamstring issue. Jazz Chisholm tweaked his ankle over the weekend. He has been termed day to day. Buster Posey exiting Sunday night with a thumb contusion. He will be available off the bench. And then a couple of Astros, Kyle Tucker with a back issue, and Michael Brantley dealing with a side injury.
Yeah, again, these are all very tough situations to look at because of the fact that you just don't want to sit these guys. And I would even rather have, you know, 4 days of Nelson Cruz or 4 days of Kyle Tucker than whoever I would put in place for them for 6 or 7 days. So I lean toward playing them, especially the guys who we already know are available, Buster Posey, Kyle Tucker. I think that those are pretty easy guys to start. The rest of them, you take it down to the wire. I would be a little bit more wary on the Twins, both Nelson Cruz and Josh Donaldson, just because of previous injuries this season and because of their age. Jazz Chisholm, I probably lean toward playing.
All right, and one last question. We've got these two Astros outfielders questionable. Is that maybe a green light to give Chaz McCormick a whirl this week?
You would have to believe that he's going to at least get a handful of starts, so I could definitely see him being in the mix because of that.
All right. Well, sounds good. So busy Monday here, but that's going to be it for this Fantasy Baseball in 15. And we would just ask that if you do have a chance to rate and review this podcast, that you take a moment to do so. And we thank you for that. So for Michael Beller, I'm Al Melchior. We'll see you again here on Tuesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.